Hi, I'm Jim Harden, pro-life ethicist, and this is our new podcast, Proof of Life. Please like and subscribe on all of our channels, social media, etc., and feel free to comment. Please send all complaints and concerns to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Sweet LGBTQXYZ. Zip code 00666. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. this is designed to talk about the news from a pro-life perspective. This particular podcast episode, we're wanting to deal with the Biden administration as the kind of leader of the Democrat re-election campaign nationwide. In order to and how they're using the abortion problem as their kind of keystone issue for re-election. The way in which the Biden administration is going about getting re-elected is by using Kamala Harris as the abortion czar and essentially the face of the Biden campaign. There's two ways in which they're talking about abortion. Number one, if Republicans win, then women are going to be robbed of their rights. In fact, overturning Roe versus Wade with the Dobbs case robbed women of their fundamental right and reproductive rights to abortion. And the second way in which they're talking about abortion is that a lack of access to abortion harms women's health. It's detrimental to a woman's health, and it's just a terrible dystopian reality. The way in which all other candidates in different states and other advertising campaigns are attacking. So it's either one of those two. Women are being robbed of their rights, or women are being harmed in terms of their own personal health by not getting access to abortion. I saw recently an ad that just came out in support of the Biden-Harris ticket in Texas, where this ostensibly a Texas OBGYN, who's a woman, is standing before the camera saying how she needed an abortion and she couldn't get an abortion. She was being forced to have this baby that was diagnosed with some terrible condition. And so because this baby was diagnosed with a life-threatening condition, she had to get an abortion. What this OBGYN didn't point out was that prenatal testing is notoriously difficult, insofar as the fact that oftentimes you get false positives, not only through ultrasound scans, but also through other types of testing, amniocentesis, etc. So, for example, you might get a 50% false positive rate for genetic testing for Down syndrome kids, and yet because of that, women go and have abortions, and they may be aborting, an otherwise normal, healthy child. Now, it's ridiculous to think that a Down syndrome child has a life less worth living than a normal child without a genetic anomaly. But that's what's going on right now in Texas with an OBGYN who's masquerading as a medical expert. She just happens to be pro-abortion and using the climate, to forward her own personal opinions about abortion. There was something else that came out recently with this New Hampshire lady. I can't remember her name. She's an assemblywoman out of New Hampshire. And she was holding her one-week-old baby and trying to promote in the New Hampshire legislature why they needed to pass legislation to deregulate abortion. And she was saying that because of abortion, she was able to get an abortion, and therefore she was able to go to school, go to college, get a high-paying job, and get elected into the assembly while she's holding her one-week-old baby. Apparently, abortion, if you get an abortion, all your wildest dreams will come true. It's like Napoleon Dynamite. that's how the Biden administration and pro-abortion politicians are using abortion. Hey, if you get abortion, all your wildest dreams will come true. That's what I would tell them. And people are buying it. Well, hopefully not much, for much longer. And unfortunately, what they're also saying is, if you don't have access to abortion, then you're going to die cold, slow, and alone in some dystopian future Republican Hunger Games of a world. It's insanity. There you have it. Also, it's important. I mean, I think you might want to know that in Maryland, there was a late term abortion clinic that was started up using a GoFundMe account, to raise money to start this late term abortion clinic, where they're bragging about the fact that they're giving abortions to 11-year-old girls. What they're failing to talk about is how this 11-year-old girl got pregnant and whether or not she is in a frame of mind to engage true informed consent about whether or not she wanted to get an abortion. The younger a girl is in terms of pregnancy, the more likely it is she was abused. So I think that 40% of all minor girls who are pregnant became so through abuse, sexual abuse. Are they talking about that? who was helping her get an abortion? Was she from Maryland? Did she travel across state lines to get an abortion in Maryland? Who drove her? Because that's a violation of the Mann Act. Are they trying to cover up a crime, a sex crime? Are they, and you might think, well, this is crazy, Jim. Why would you even say that? Well, because the Biden administration says that they capitalize, they exploit the poor minor who's been raped, not because she's been raped, but because she doesn't have access to abortion. They're outraged at the lack of abortion, not at the rape. We've got a serious problem in America where the abortion industry has partnered with the sex crime industry in order to cover up the sex crimes. You got a whistleblower coming out of Arizona a couple years ago saying that the Planned Parenthood there was systemically covering up the sex crimes perpetrated against immigrant women. You've got whistleblowers coming out of the FBI saying that they were pulled off of sex crime investigations in order to target pro-life, peaceful pro-life people. You've got, the Biden administration, decrying the scenario where this poor 10-year-old rape victim in Ohio had to be transported across state lines into Indiana to get an abortion because Roe versus Wade was overturned and she couldn't get an abortion in Ohio. Meanwhile, somehow or other, word got out that she got a chemical abortion in violation of HIPAA, confidentiality and compliance, and that the abortionist listed the person that got her impregnated was 17, when in fact he was 27 and an illegal immigrant, apparently. A 27-year-old rapist was being covered by this abortionist. And what does the Biden administration do? They don't talk about the rape. They don't talk about the sex crime. They don't talk about the exploitation. They just use her to exploit her situation as a propaganda piece and hoping that nobody pays attention and asks the next question. Wait a second. She's 10. Well, wait a second. She was raped. Well, wait a second. Is this common? I'm calling for all state AGs, all state departments of health, to do an audit on the abortion industry in their states for how many women that were given abortions that were under the age of 18. Because the younger the woman, based on the statistical data, the younger the woman, the younger the girl that gets pregnant, the older the person is that impregnated her. That means that there's massive, massive problems going on right now in the abortion industry. They are not reporting or underreporting the cases of rape that are coming their way. So this is something that the Biden administration refuses to talk about, and they don't. They're not interested in the health of the mother. They're not interested in access to medical care. They're not interested in rights. They're interested in abortion only insofar as it gives them the more power. It gets them reelected. And so the Republicans need to find a way to become pro-life statesmen, because that's the only way they're going to win. The Republicans lost the midterms in 2022, and I predicted it. I predicted they would lose. I predicted the red wave would die on the beach, and it did, because the Republicans backed away from talking about abortion. They backed away from being pro-life. It is the purview of the states, according to the Dobbs decision overturning Roe, to regulate abortion. It remains the purview of the federal government to protect all people equally, because the Declaration of Independence says we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, the first of which, the primary of which, the right upon which all other rights are presupposed, is the right to life. We are not endowed by our government with the right to life. We are endowed by our Creator. This is important. Capital C. And so you can look at the Constitution and you say, hey, these are unalienable rights. And you say, look, we are all equally valuable without qualification, without partiality, because we're made in the image of God, both born and preborn. It is not the government's job to parse personhood, to decide which persons qualify for protection under the law, 14th Amendment, and which ones do not. It is not the job of the federal government to disqualify entire categories of human from protection under the Constitution. That's why the 13th Amendment was written after the Civil War. That's why the 14th Amendment was put in there after the Civil War. Furthermore, you look at the 5th Amendment. You shall not deprive anyone, any person, of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Well, that's happening every day in abortion. And you look at the fact that the abortion industry, specifically the chemical abortion industry, is violating the law. Right now, the Comstock Act prohibits the mailing of these drugs, abortifacients, across state lines and across the U.S. border. But it's happening every day. Virtually every single instance of chemical abortion in America today is a violation of the Comstock Act, which 22 different state attorneys generals have recognized and sent an open letter to the FDA commissioner. 25% of all senators and federals at the federal level sent an open letter to Merrick Garland, attorney general, U.S. attorney general, saying you need to enforce the law. It's a violation of the Comstock Act when you're sending these drugs. And by the way, it includes racketeering and money laundering, triple damages. And there's a 5-year statute of limitations with a $250,000 fine for each violation, and 5 years in prison, and 10 years for every subsequent violation thereafter, plus $250,000 fine, and triple damages with racketeering, because you're conspiring with other organizations and people to circumvent the law. Pharmaceutical companies, Danco Laboratories, GenBioPro, you're talking about pharmacists themselves. You're talking about abortion, chemical abortion companies, online chemical abortion companies like Hey Jane, Charlie Bot, that, you know, is being promoted by and run by former Planned Parenthood executive Cecile Richards, who's, by the way, now been diagnosed with brain cancer and is dying in New York City. This is a tragedy going on, an intentional violation of the law. And Merrick Garland, a year ago, January 3rd, said he would not enforce the law, in violation of his oath to enforce the laws of this state duly passed by the legislature, okay? I mean, what is that? Mayorkas with Department of Homeland Security was up for this being dismissed, impeachment by the House, and that didn't make it through because the House lost a couple of votes. But what they should have done is started with Merrick Garland. They should have started the impeachment process with Merrick Garland and his lackey, Christopher Wray, with the FBI. They are refusing to investigate true crimes against humanity and racketeering to boot with respect to the abortion industry and their sex crime cover-ups, while at the same time turning their investigative and indicting power on peaceful pro-life people, including pregnancy centers and people who stand outside of abortion clinics and pray and sing songs, hymns, okay? That's what's happening right now in America. That is what the Biden administration doesn't want people to know. They are using abortion to get reelected. And once the Biden administration resecures the executive branch and they're able to secure power in the House and shift the balance of power in the House back to the Democrats, they will stack the Supreme Court. They will add 4 more members to the Supreme Court, 9 plus 4. That will give them a majority in the Supreme Court. And at that point, they're going to run roughshod over the First Amendment, constitutional religious liberty, freedom of speech, et cetera, of pro-life Christians. They're already doing it. They're already sending pro-life Christians to jail. The first thing, I mean, if Trump or whoever the next president, I mean, gets into the office, if it's not Biden, the first thing he needs to do is pardon all these peaceful pro-lifers that have been indicted and set and convicted, God knows how, of conspiracy to violate the rights of women when there is no federal right to abortion. They need to be pardoned. And whoever is running, and I think Trump, since he's running for president and acting like he's the nominee, needs to start saying that he's going to be pardoning all these people. He needs to send that message loud and clear to Merrick Garland, the DOJ, and Kristen Clark, his assistant, who is a BLM Antifa supporter and vehemently opposed to pro-life pregnancy centers and refuses to investigate civil rights crimes against us. He needs to send the message, I will pardon every single one of these peaceful pro-lifers. And every single one of these pro-lifers that you're currently indicting, I will make sure they never, never go to federal prison for their peaceful activities. Meanwhile, I think funding at the House level needs to be withheld from the DOJ and the FBI until a thorough investigation can be done into the corruption that's seeped down from the upper echelons of government into the rank and file, essentially, you know, turning this massive kind of federal policing bureau on politically disfavored groups like pro-lifers. It's wrong. And it's the purview of the president, by the way. It's Joe Biden's responsibility. Anyway, there's so much going on right now. And I'd like to talk more about the Hamas ceasefire and Hamas's request for a ceasefire in Palestine. You know, the old saying in the 1960s, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Well, I was, you know, soundly rebuked, and I think wrongly, by pastors and other members of the media for saying that that pro-abortion Antifa is America's Hamas. They were saying, "Oh, Jim, you're shame on you for capitalizing on the tragedy of Israel, you know, for the Hamas attacks against them." Well, I wasn't. I was speaking the truth. That was not being metaphorical. I'm telling you, based on our research, based on our investigations, based on the pattern of behavior worldwide, pro-abortion, transgender, BLM, eco-terrorist Antifa. These are all the same people. They all have the same goal. And they all use the same tactics and dress code across the globe. These are all the same people. And if you just look at the pattern of how they attack in waves, it's called fourth generation warfare. This is not coming from me. This comes from people who study this. This comes from Scott Wheeler, who understands the nature of fourth-generation warfare, former government military operative, who did a lot of work with quelling terrorist activity, understanding terrorist activity and communications. This comes from Rich Higgins, former irregular warfare expert out of the Pentagon. All you've got to do is look at what they're saying. Look at the goals of Antifa. Look at the goal. Look at the fact that they are a massive Marxist international insurgency, designed specifically to attack the roots of the Judeo-Christian free market system that supports and undergirds the nation-state system globally. And the reason why they're attacking America and doing so by these, you know, recruiting these disaffected left-wing groups like pro-abortion people, transgender people, eco-terrorist type people, etc., is because they can unite them around this common common idea that the Judeo-Christian framework enslaves people somehow. And they're trying to free them. That somehow war's been declared. Like, for example, when we were firebombed in Buffalo, our medical office was firebombed in Buffalo. Jane's Revenge took responsibility, and they said that the reason why they're firebombing us is because we're enslaving women, and that war has been declared upon them. Somehow or other, we're forcing women to become permanent socioeconomic underclasses, and so they're just protecting themselves. Hamas is doing the same thing. And so after people decried, and we're so horrifically offended by my statements that pro-abortion Antifa is America's Hamas. Benjamin Netanyahu came out, okay, a couple weeks later. Maybe it was a week later. I don't know. But he said, what's going on in Israel with the Hamas attacks is basically the forces of civilization being attacked by the forces of barbarism. Worldwide forces of a barbarism, okay? Barbarism. This is a global problem. Benjamin Netanyahu understands it's a global problem. He sees the pattern. I was being very literal. And to this day, so when we were firebombed on June 7th, after refusing to shut down, we were given a 30-day ultimatum to shut down or else get firebombed. We refused to shut down. 30 days came, and we were firebombed on day 30. $500,000 of damage. 2 firefighters were injured putting out the blaze. I got contacted. We got contacted by some Israelis who were doing research into the nature of the consistency of the kind of Antifa attacks that we were experiencing, and what's going on in the Middle East. They're the same people. And the question is, who's funding them? Where is it coming from? And now you've got pro-abortion politicians picking up the same language. They're picking up this pro-abortion Antifa language. They're, shut them down, shut it down. They're referring to pregnancy centers. They refer it to, they use that phrase, with their peaceful protests for all sorts of things. Shut it down. And Elizabeth Warren, was screaming this and chanting this, shut them down, shut down pregnancy centers all across the country. They're terrorizing women. We're terrorizing women with our free medical care and our compassionate, comprehensive community support. It's just the intention here is to, is for me to help you connect the dots with what's going on in terms of how abortion is being used as a flashpoint to undermine the constitutional rule of law, not just in America, but across the world. They don't care about abortion. They care about what abortion gives them. And by they, I mean pro-abortion Democrats, Marxist, communists. What abortion gives them is absolute power. The ability to decide who lives and who dies. It's the camel's nose under the tent of tyranny. The ability to decide who lives and who dies is basically the ability to say, this person qualifies for protection of the law and this one doesn't. And the reason why they're coming after pro-life Christians first as the vanguard of Christianity is because we're the ones that are able to articulate the primary belief that stands between a free rule of law and a tyranny. That belief is this. We are all made in the image of God and therefore equally valuable without qualification, without partiality. Period. No exceptions. Preborn, born. Mother, child, doesn't matter. It's a barbaric society that starts to parse humanity. Well, how, you know, we just need to compromise. We need a consensus. Compromise and consensus is not how you win. It's not how you lead. We need pro-life statesmen who can lead, understanding the fact that the government is responsible for protecting all people equally. Anyway, there you have it. Fourth generation warfare. Abortion is a flashpoint. Hamas ceasefire. I don't think we should. I think what Hamas is going to do is they're just going to. They're asking for, you know, 4 more months to engage more recruitment, reload, and go back with another wave of attacks. This is what fourth generation warfare does. They cry foul every time, you know, there's force on force and comes back, tries to quell the particular wave, and then they make it look like they're being brutalized and oppressed when the insurgency is put down, and then of course they get, you know, the public and the media to sympathize with them, even though they've been the ones that have been, you know, perpetrating crimes against humanity all along. And then the law enforcement or the military backs off. They gin themselves back up again with more recruitment efforts, and they hit another wave. And every wave gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it's the Al-Aqsa flood toppling the nation state. These aren't my ideas. This is their plan. This is their process. This is fourth generation warfare. This is what they've been doing. This is how Al-Qaeda got the U.S. military out of Somalia. I mean, it's just and it's what's going on in America today, with transgenderism, with BLM, with eco-terrorists, with the pro-abortion people. Notice they're all the same people. And this is how pro-abortion politicians are getting reelected. This is a perfect, the presidential election cycle is the perfect time to educate the people about what it means to be human, to remind America and Americans about the equal value of all human life. And it's a great opportunity if we take advantage of it. And a lot of churches and pastors are saying, well, no, I don't want to talk about it. I think it's too political. It's just a hot button issue, and it's going to just divide us. Well, God has given the church and has ordained that the church be a prophetic presence in the world, a prophetic voice. We know the standard of good, and his name is Jesus. We, as Christians, understand what justice is. We know what injustice looks like. We're always the ones on the front lines to protect the weak and the vulnerable. We're the ones standing against oppression. We're the ones that understand that it was God who told his people, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, plead for the orphan, defend the widow. These are all legal terms used in the public square. For God's sake, it's our job to identify the oppression and to speak out against it, and to do whatever we can to protect those specifically who are being oppressed by the powerful. The reason why we have a constitutional rule of law government is not so that we can have our own little rights, but so that we can protect the weak from the oppressor. And if we say it's okay for certain types of categories of people to be oppressed, then we're saying that the rule of law doesn't matter. Equality is just a word the powerful use to manipulate the masses for their own political gain. And that's wrong. It's always been wrong. And it's always the Christians and the people of God who stand up and say, and look, all you got to do is look at the history of, just read the Bible. I mean, you've got Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You've got Esther. You've got Moses and Pharaoh. You've got, the history of the people of God is the history of the people of God saying, government, you're wrong. We are all going to be held accountable to the standard of God, and it's a mercy for me to tell you that you're wrong. John the Baptist got his head lopped off for speaking truth to government. Jesus said he was the greatest man that ever lived. It's the church's job. And by the way, Jesus said the church is going to be, this is what's going to happen. As time goes on, and as time gets shorter, the window closes between now and when Jesus comes back, Christians are going to be spoken ill of. We're going to be lied about. We're going to be sent up to the government. We're going to be before kings to give testimony. Just like they treated Jesus, they're going to treat us. And it's an opportunity. We're being given a platform. But if we're always playing careful, playing nice, always trying to make sure we're not stepping on anybody's toes, we're giving up our birthright just like Esau. It's not easy. It's not easy to be the prophetic voice. It's not easy to be the prophetic hands and feet of Christ. But if you want to know where Jesus is in the world today, find the injustice. People who stand against injustice are not popular. They may be well known. You know, everybody fancies themselves. Well, you know, they look back on history and they're like, oh, you know, I would, if I were living during the time of slavery, I would have been an abolitionist. I would have been right there with those abolitionists. Would you have been? Because they were the minority. They were the ones sacrificing their reputation, their money, putting themselves and their families at risk. Because if you're not identifying the injustice that exists today and standing against it, what makes you think that you would have stood against it then? I think it's, God puts us where we are in this dangerous Jericho road of life. And he says, you're radically responsible. I'm radically responsible for the person I come across who's beaten and left for dead. And I have to be that good Samaritan. Jesus saves you and I, brother and sister, not so that we can play it safe. Jesus saves you and I so that we can go and do likewise. We can leverage our voice, our resources, our rights, our standing before whatever, on behalf of those that need it most. There is no one more widowed in our society than a woman who is so alone she thinks she has to choose between her life and her baby's life. There is no one more orphaned, more fatherless in this world than a baby whose government doesn't even recognize their personhood status. So we have an opportunity to educate our nation and the world with respect to what it means to be human under God, because abortion is a fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be human under God. And it's a great opportunity during the presidential election cycle to talk about that, especially since the Biden administration is going to make it his primary reelection campaign topic. It's great. So let's talk about it. And let's do what needs to be done with respect to serving and saving women and babies from abortion through organizations like Compass Care and Ethical Medical Care, but also taking this opportunity to educate our family, our friends, our churches, our coworkers. You know, ask them, you know, what on what authority do you think it's okay to kill a child in utero? What does it mean to be human? What makes a human any more valuable than an animal? Are humans the crown of creation? You know, what happens if we're not? So more to come. There's so much going on right now, legislatively, legally, et cetera. Compass Cares being attacked. I think we're managing right now, 6 different lawsuits. And this is this, they're the, these, the, we're, you know, pro-abortion, Antifa, are trading firebombs for lawyers and legislators. Anyway, that's where we are as a nation. And I hope you are beginning to see that abortion is being, while abortion is the greatest injustice the world has ever seen, with the World Health Organization saying that there's over 73 million abortions occurring worldwide every single year, it is a flashpoint that is being used for more nefarious and broader purposes worldwide. And I think that it's important for Christians to be alert and awake for times just like this. Thank you for watching. I'm Reverend Jim Harden. You can follow me on Newsmax at Reverend Harden's Hard Truths with my weekly column, and on all the greatest social media platforms. Thanks. God bless.